This is our study, Learning Contentment. And today we find ourselves, let me see what number chapter we're on. We're on chapter 6 in our study. And I really meant to post that on Oasis, so I hope you all did your homework and read your chapter. But before we get into our lesson, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Pray with me. Our Father, before we begin, we want to just quieten our hearts to pray to you this morning, to ask you to speak to us, speak your word into our lives. Father, we want to be women who are full of your spirit, which results in life and peace, which is just another way to say we're contented. And Father, this morning, I am so satisfied with you. I thank you for salvation. I thank you, Father, for your watch care and your provision and your blessings and your strength and your power and your insight and your wisdom, all the many ways you bless our lives. And so this morning we've gathered to give attention to your word. We ask you to take your word and say something very personal to us this morning. Deal with us in our hearts that we might be women who live our lives in a way that gives a correct estimate to those around us of who you are. That they can look at us and see you. They can look at us and taste you. And so, Father, we pray now that you will take this lesson and use it in our lives, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back to our lesson. Now, let's just begin this morning with just a little bit of a review, because our first main verse that we are using in this lesson, in this book and in this study, comes out of Philippians 4. Let's just start by reading those verses together. And it comes out of Philippians 4, 11 through 13. And this is what Paul says as he's discussing with these Philippians. He says, he's thanking them for a gift of money that they've sent him. And then he says, thank you to them. Then he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I like how some of the versions say, I have learned the secret. It's almost like there's a secret we're learning. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, our lesson this week, we're going to be looking at envy, but before we jump into that subject, let's go back and bring some facts that we've seen all through our weeks just to kind of give us a context for today's lesson. What is the definition, then, of contentment? And we've just kind of been dealing with this as our definition. So let's write it on our handout. It's a deep satisfaction with the will of God in all circumstances of our life. A deep satisfaction with the will of God. Contentment is not something that happens automatically. You get saved, you're immediately content. No. It's not an automatic thing. I like what Paul said, I have learned. He had to learn it. And sisters, we have to learn it too. So write this on your handout. It is something to be learned. And it's going to require work on our parts. Let's write this down. Contentment leads to rest. Now, we saw that in one of our very first lessons. Remember, God created the whole world in 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh? He rested. He kept saying, about his creation. It was good. And on this day he created this, and it was good. And it was good. He was satisfied with what he had done. And so on the seventh day, he rested. He was content. He was satisfied. And then we saw that for the foundation of contentment are the promises of God. So write that down. And that week, we camped on two very specific promises that lead to contentment. These are promises you can build your life on. Let's look at those two. First of them, I've already read Philippians 4:13, where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said that verse in the context, in a paragraph, talking about contentment. I'm happy to be with much. I'm happy to be with little. I've learned to be content. I can do anything God asked me to do in his will and be content. Look at the next one we looked at, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are two promises that you can build your life on. No matter what, he'll never leave you. I can be content. I can rest in that. And then we saw 1 Timothy 6:6, and it told us that godliness with contentment is great gain. What does that scripture show us? Well, I want you to write it down. That scripture showed us that contentment is going to be connected to godliness. And I love that thought because this ties this study with our previous study on spiritual disciplines. Remember that where Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And you discipline yourself in order for godliness to be who you are. And then as the result of godliness comes the fruit of contentment. They're all tied together. And then for the last 2 weeks, we focused on chapter 5, and that chapter was called The Mental Trap. And we found there, and I want you to write it down, that contentment all hinges around our thinking. Our thinking is so important. And I loved in that chapter how she talks about dumpster diving in your thinking. And so we saw no more dumpster diving for us in our thinking. But instead, look at Colossians 3:1-2. We're to set our minds on things above, not on things in the dumpster. Okay? And then we spent all of just last week's lesson on Romans chapter 8. And we ended our lesson with verse 6, which tells us this. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, this involves something. And I want you to write it on your handout this way. It involves us taking responsibility over our thinking. Our thinking. In other words, I've got to take ownership here. I'm going to be actively involved in the process. I'm going to be involved, but that's not the only person, because we also saw, and I want you to write it down, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is in us. He is helping us. And so we're to be about training ourselves to think spiritually, to think biblically. And the result will be life, peace. In other words, contentment. Now, I'll just say it this way. You cannot think garbage in the dumpster and be content. You just can't do it. So our thoughts have got to be taken out of the dumpster and set above where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. And now for today, we're going to explore another enemy of contentment in our lives. And this enemy is envy. So write that on your handout. Being content means that you're going to have to fight envy with everything that you've got. And we're also going to have to fight its cousin. And let me tell you who envy's cousin is. It's called covetousness. So put that on your handout. Now, I just looked up the definition of these two words. Let's look at envy first. Envy, if you take it as a noun, it's a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or good fortune. If I take that word envy and use it as a verb, this is what it means. It means to desire to have a quality, possession, or other desirable attribute belonging to someone else, a desire for oneself, something possessed or enjoyed by another. And then let's look at its cousin, covetousness. That is a strong wish to have something, especially something that belongs to someone else, an eager or excessive desire. So we've got envy, we've got covetousness. We could also say jealousy. Same thing. I think this is a hard thing for women, harder for women. Now, I want to say something right here that I think we need to consider that I think is unique to our generation. And that is that I believe social media promotes covetousness and envy. Do you agree? And so, ladies, you're going to have to watch social media. Watch social media. Don't let it create in you a desire of jealousy or covetousness. The sins of covetousness and envy are often, we often overlook them because they're kind of like our little pet sins. And we like to indulge them, and they seem rather harmless. And a lot of times envy and jealousy is just sort of under the surface in my heart. And what I mean by that is that it's inward. It may be just in my thinking. No one else knows what I'm thinking. And you may not even see my jealousy outwardly. You don't know I'm coveting something in my heart. And so if that's the case, then foolishly, I might nurse it along until at some point it's going to break out in my life to the surface, and it's going to become crystal clear that it's there. Now let's talk about this evil of covetousness and envy, because they leave much evil in their wake. How much evil, Teresa? Well, are you ready for this? Look on your handout at James 3:18. And it says, therefore, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Oh my gosh. Envy is not just a little pet sin, is it? Did you notice? It leaves in its wake every evil thing, and it leads to what? Disorder. Chaos in your life. Who needs that? We don't. So once again, my thinking is going to come into play, because obedience to God isn't just me outwardly conforming to a set of rules. No, it's me inwardly, in my heart, obeying God from my heart. We are to follow, we are to obey Him with the sincere affection of our hearts. It's just not me imposing obedience on my hands and my feet, but it's also I'm imposing obedience on my heart and my mind. Now, my hands and feet can get me into sin, and often they do. But it's my mind where sin begins. So put that on your handout. It begins in our minds. And so the command against envy and covetousness gets right into the business of our hearts. Here's a truth. I think I put this on your handout. When contentment, and what did we say contentment was? Remember our definition? A deep satisfaction with the will of God in all our circumstances. When contentment reigns in my heart, covetousness and envy cannot get a foothold. They cannot get a foothold. Now, I want to say this. They're always trying to break through. It's an enemy I have to fight all the time because I'm living in a body of sinful flesh. I've got that flesh connection. I've got the world. My enemies are three. Satan, the world, and the devil. And two of those are working really hard to get me into envy and covetousness. And so if I'm going to be a contented woman, I've got to learn to defend my territory. I've got to be on a sharp lookout. It is going to be my duty to be sharp, to guard my thinking. For instance, watching social media, to know what's going on in my own heart. And then we are, I love these words out of Scripture, to take heed. Let's look at some scriptures. That's a good word for us this morning out of this chapter. Take heed. That means be careful. Beware. This is what Jesus said to a man in the crowd when the man asked Jesus to settle a dispute in his family over an inheritance. And Jesus quickly addressed the underlying heart attitude in his response to that man. I want you to look at what he said in Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Now that man was in a squabble with his brother. He was dealing with covetousness. And it's no different today. Inheritance splits families every day. Why? It's because of envy, greed, and covetousness. And so Jesus says, take heed. Heads up. Be on the alert. Because when envy and covetousness rush at our hearts without warning, Jesus has put a sign up that says, beware of covetousness. Beware. Be ready. Take heed. Take heed to your own heart. Take heed to your own temptation. And the idea is repeated over and over in the Bible. Just look on your handout. Deuteronomy 4 has several. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget. Take heed. Take careful heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. And more examples, if you were to go to the Old Testament, come from Joshua, 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles for a few. But what about the New Testament? Let's look there, Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said to them, take heed, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 18, take heed that you do not despise these little ones. Matthew 24, take heed that no one deceives you. Mark 4, take heed what you hear. Mark 8, take heed how you hear. Luke 11, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Luke 17, take heed to yourself. Luke 21, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. And then 1 Corinthians 10, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Now what's the bottom line of all those verses? It's this. We are to pay very close attention to our walk with God. We're to be minutemen, on watch. We are to manage. We are to be alert. We are to be careful. We're to take heed to the world. We're to pay attention that envy does not work its way into our hearts. And then I want you to look at Galatians 5. Now, this is a list of the biggies. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. This is exactly what your flesh wants to do. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I want you to see out of that scripture is that envy is mentioned right in the middle of what we consider all the biggies. Right there with adultery, sorcery, idolatry, murders, drunkenness. I would not do any of those. And yet, would I envy? I think, well, that's not a biggie. It is a biggie. That's what I'm wanting you to see this morning. It's a big thing. Let's go another place. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do they do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. This isn't something we have to teach our children to do, envy. You see, it just comes natural. It's all a part of the curse. It feels normal to have envy. And by the way, envy will bring a little amount of satisfaction to your flesh for a season, but it's always temporary. Because envy always wants more. Enough is never enough with envy. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Noticing that someone else has been greatly blessed is not the problem. The problem comes with where we go next in our thinking. You see. And if we go toward being envious, you have a problem. I love the little illustration she gave in the book. Do y'all remember it? Where someone she knew came into a really great blessing, and it was a financial blessing, and everybody was always telling that person, you better be careful, don't think too much of yourself, da 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 da. And finally she said, well, you better be careful you're not envious. And I like that. I thought that was cute. So put this on your handout. We must resist the temptation to envy. We've got to resist the temptation. So what is the solution, Teresa? Well, let's write it down. Give thanks to God for the blessings that others enjoy. Be happy for them. Rejoice with other people, for goodness sake. And then gratitude will keep envy out of our hearts. Envy can be an enormous stumbling block. I mean, just have teenagers. You get all involved in their situations. Well, why did that person have to be born with such good genes in sports? You know, you find yourself thinking all kind of crazy things. Well, they beat out my son for that position. Or that beauty position on the court, the homecoming court, or whatever. Don't let your hearts go there. So write it on your handout this way. Pay close attention. We must pay close attention to our hearts. And we've got to learn to apply what we're learning here about contentment. Because if we allow it in our lives, What we'll find is if I go there, then its companions are going to come with him. What are the companions? Well, resentment, discontent, self-pity, self-seeking, and oh yeah, it'll lead to gossip and a whole host of other things. It can take a lot of different forms. It can disguise itself in our lives in a lot of ways. But the bottom line is this for your handout. Discontent is the result of looking for satisfaction in the wrong things. Now, I love watching toddlers play. And this past spring break, I was keeping Lottie and Rosie, and the Vonners have moved in our neighborhood, and they have two children their age, so invited them over to play. I have a sandbox. It is jam-packed full of girl toys. And so the Bonners have a little boy that's Rosie's age. His name is Ellie. And so I have one truck in the sandbox. But the rest is girl stuff. I mean, girl stuff for days. Would you know they fought the whole time over that one truck? Now, Rosie has never played with that truck, ever. But as soon as Elliot showed up, guess what became the prize toy in the sandbox? It was the truck. Finally, she got it. But as soon as she got it, I noticed it was just thrown aside, and she went to playing with the girl toys. But you see, that's just normal. It's just normal. I liked how she closed our chapter, and I want to read this as we close in our part this morning. Contentment is comforting. Discontent is uneasy. Contentment is peaceful. Discontent is disturbed. Contentment looks out for others. But discontent looks only to gratify itself. Contentment is grateful, and discontent will refuse to say thanks. Contentment counts its blessings. But discontent counts its grievances. Contentment is cheerful, but discontent will pout. Contentment takes the hit, but discontent only points the finger. Contentment is generous, but discontent will not share. Contentment is settled, discontent is restless. Ladies, there's too much to pay. There's too much on the line. We don't want to be envious women. Amen? Amen. Now, let's take a break in our small group. Let's go over our homework. If you're at a small table, gravitate to another. And I'm going to come back up and close us in just a few minutes. I know. I hate to stop all this good conversation. Okay, next week we are on chapter 7, and the name of that chapter is A Change in Perspective. Now, you don't want to miss this chapter, okay? Some email, this means you have to stay with Susan. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this great time of talk around our tables. I ask you, Lord, to continue working in our hearts. Help us to be women who take heed to our thinking. Because, Father, we want to be contented women. And we ask you now to continue teaching us all of these things that we're looking at and we've learned. We pray that you'll bring them to our mind and that we will be women who walk that way, who put those things into practice in our lives. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Chapter 7.